same room as we gather to worship God this morning. So great to be back, great to be with you, and great to have the privilege to actually share God's word with you in person and not so much at a distance. Let's just ask God to help us now as we turn to his word. Father in heaven, we thank you for speaking to us. We need you to speak into our lives. We live in a dark world. We have darkness in our own lives. We see it all around us, and we need your light. We need your life. We need the power of your spirit to blaze in this world, to blaze in our own lives, to blaze in this church, to blaze from this church. And so, Lord, we pray that as we focus on what it means to be the body of Christ this morning, please, may we know your powerful work among us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are again, back together in person, more or less, after a COVID break. We're a little later than the gyms at getting back together, but one person's gym experience went like this. My first workout back at the gym was great. I did 15 minutes of cardio, 10 minutes on the defibrillator, and then 3 days in the hospital. Now, here's our big question as we largely come back together to church in person. What sort of shape are we in as a church as we regather? I don't necessarily mean the health and fitness of your physical body, but in terms of your spiritual health and spiritual fitness. And then not even just as individuals, but together as a whole church, as a church family. What sort of shape are we in? Healthy? Fit? Strong? Frothing? Or weak? Have we maybe been wasting away in the time of isolation and distance? Well, in our Bible reading, the Apostle Paul is calling the Christians in Ephesus to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Verse 1 of chapter 4. As Christians then this morning, is that where we're at? Wanting to live that life worthy of the calling we've received. Of course, what we know from our own bodies actually helps us. It gives us great insight of what this means for us as a church body, because that's actually the picture we have presented to us in Ephesians chapter 4. It's the church pictured as a body. A body that at its best is fit and healthy and strong and active. But that stuff doesn't just happen, does it? In fact, to think that the body would just be fit without any work, without any attention, is about as unhealthy as it gets. And so today, we're thinking about what shape our body is in and what areas we might need to work out in. So let me ask then whether you think, on reflection, you're stronger or weaker in your faith coming out of COVID isolation. What do you think? How hot is the fire of spiritual life burning in you? Have you weakened? Have you begun perhaps to vague out on your faith? Have you just not been doing much while we've been away? It's been easy just to perhaps recede into the background, hasn't it? And among many other things we know about fitness, one principle is especially relevant. It's called the principle of the reversibility of training. I may even have mentioned it before, but it's pretty depressing, really. It basically means that even if I decide in a moment of rash enthusiasm to finish week 16 of this, the paratroop regiment's ultimate fitness program, right? Not only will I still not be as fit as Zimmo, but in just 2 or 3 days after completing that program, the fitness starts ebbing away. It goes downhill. It deteriorates. You've got to keep going with it. That's the slippery slope that is the principle of the reversibility of training. And so today is either a reminder to keep working out in our spiritual fitness or to actually get into it again if we need to. And our Bible passage today will help us assess what sort of shape we're in as a body, as it confronts us with three particular criteria for us to measure. So we're going to look at this morning, firstly, the shape of our unity, secondly, the shape of our diversity, and thirdly, the shape of our maturity. So firstly then, the shape of our unity. It's in verses 3-6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then you look at verses 4-5, and what do you see in there? There's a lot of ones, isn't there? There's one body, the church, because there is only one Spirit. There is one hope. There's one faith. There's one baptism. Incidentally, that is the regenerating baptism of the Holy Spirit, not whatever take we might have on water baptism. Because there's only one Lord, Jesus Christ. And there's only one family, because there's only one God and Father of us all. And one term brings all of these ones together. And it's this term, gospel. Gospel. Together these elements form the message of the good news of eternal salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what you find when you look back to the first three chapters of Ephesians. You find the gospel, you find the good news, the message about Jesus and all of the riches of God that come to us through him. And that is the only basis, brothers and sisters, for unity in the Christian church. It's the gospel. Furthermore, there aren't two bodies, two spirits, two hopes, two faiths, two baptisms, two lords, two families, or two gods and fathers of us all. The whole thing breaks down when you put a two into that. Now, I think it's been said there are 30-something thousand different denominations of Christian churches around the world, with some wildly divergent beliefs and practices, and lots of points of disagreement. And we might ask, is that a good thing? Or bring it in, even into this room, when we survey all of our points of different understanding on different things that we find in Scripture to do with creation or church government or social activism or end times millennial position and so on. Lots of things that there are differences among us about. Is that a good thing? Well, the answer is that it might not be a bad thing, or at least it's not as bad as we might think it is. Because what it comes down to is, what is the basis of our unity? The things that we can be together on. And biblical unity is gospel unity. Agreement on the things of first importance, 1 Corinthians 15. It's the gospel, God's holiness, our sin, God's grace, Jesus coming, his perfect life, fully God, fully human, paying the debt of our sin, swapping us, his perfection, for our guilt, and God raising him from death to beat sin and death and hell and to give new life to all who trust in him. That's the gospel. And if you trust in that, you're in Christ. You're in Christ. Look, with many possibly different points of view on various secondary matters, views, by the way, that could change as we continue to work together and chat with each other. But it's unity in the gospel. You see, those differences that we might have actually mean Unity is something we need to make every effort to keep. And we do that by building on the one gospel, on all of those ones. So what shape are we in, brothers and sisters, with our unity? That shape is this body. But what shape is that body in? Are we together in the gospel? United in the gospel? You know, the great thing is I can now ask for an amen. Are we united in the gospel? Amen? Amen. Oh, no, no, no. There's a button up there that they could press if we needed an amen on the live stream. All right? Does that actually work? It doesn't work on here. So you're going to have to say amen. Are we united in the gospel? Do we understand that our unity in the gospel drives us to mission? We're on mission together with Jesus. Our longing for those who don't yet know or believe in Jesus to come to faith. Our sense of vision, not just for this room and to fill it, but for Kingborough and beyond. To come to faith. People to be saved. Our desire to grow and to multiply. Or not. Even our discussion over a possible church name change. These things reveal how clearly we're thinking about the gospel. And so, verse 3, brothers and sisters, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That is God's clear word to us today, isn't it? That is what he's saying. Is that what we're up for? Is that what we're doing? Every effort. See, if we're not working out in this area, in the area of unity, then we leave ourselves open to something horrific called disunity. And what does that do to bodies? Chops them up. Dismembers them. It's awful. So unity doesn't mean, though, that we're all the same, thankfully. Definitely not. God's got a much more exciting plan than that for us. So let's have a look at our second point, which is now the shape of our diversity, verses 7 to 12. Have a look at those verses. There's diversity here, and it has to do with gifts. Verse 7, to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Verse 11, so Christ himself gave various gifts. Verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. Now, one of my favourite films is still The Incredibles. Brilliant film. The Pars are superheroes who, as it turns out, are not allowed to use the abilities that once allowed them to transform unfolding catastrophes into happy endings. Not allowed to do that anymore. The whole family are victims in this society where everyone is special, so no one is special. And their family begins to unravel due to dissatisfaction and frustration and just a total lack of self-confidence in who they are and what they can do. So one reviewer of this film comments this. He says, in this movie's view of things, this egalitarianism, that means everyone the same, is not just crippling, but it's actively, murderously evil. Some people have abilities that others do not. And to deny them the right to exercise those abilities is misguided, cruel, and socially destructive. Seems to me that's not too far from the line of Paul's thought in our message, although we're not basing it on rights, of course. We're not all the same. Praise God. You're not all like me. Praise God. I'm not going to say the other part of that. And Christ has given each of us gifts. Each one of us, sinners saved by Jesus, are in this picture. You've received a portion of grace, not just in salvation, but in contribution, what you can do. That grace in verse 7 refers to gifts in verses 8 and verse 11. Now, I love receiving gifts, don't you? I mean, that's pretty strong love language of mine. And then I tend to keep them to myself. That's mine. Thank you. You gave that to me. I'm going to enjoy that. Thank you. But that's not what's in view here with these grace gifts. You know, it might be my gift, but it's for you. So what do you think about that then? You've been given a portion of grace by Jesus Christ himself, if you belong to him. So what is yours? What can you do? What can you offer? Or has Jesus got it wrong about you? Christ has given each of us gifts, but Christ also tells us how to use them, verse 11 and 12. We see there's a list of specific gifts in verse 11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Not all people have these gifts. All of those gifts involve the proclamation of God's word. But look at the purpose those gifts have in verse 12. To prepare or to equip all God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Their purpose brings everyone's gifts into view through God's word. As I exercise my gift as a pastor and teacher, bringing you what Christ's word says, you're being equipped for works of service. That's what I pray is happening right now. But what happens if I don't do that? I keep that gift to myself. Paul keeps that gift to himself. What happens if I decide not to share that? What happens then? Is the whole body affected? Of course it is. So what shape are we in with our diversity? Jesus has given each of you a portion of grace to use for others. Gifts, abilities, in the context of the body, the church. And that brings the awareness with it that the body can't work well without our involvement. Doesn't it? Do you think, really, that there's nothing you can do? Our big idea this morning is this, that the body is made up of many parts, all of which have functions that make the body work well and grow stronger. We'll come back to that at the end. But do you think there's nothing you can do? Well, you're wrong. Jesus says different. Maybe you feel you aren't very good or even any good at anything. But did you see the word prepare or the word equip in verse 12? That's important. And the Holy Spirit's pretty important in this too. Or you might be sitting there and thinking, I don't even want to do anything. That could be an outcome of our COVID season. And if that's the case, we're not in great shape. For if it's misguided, cruel, as the reviewer said of the film, and socially destructive to suppress people's abilities and gifts, what is it when members of the body of Christ withhold their abilities and their gifts from the work of the body? It means we've lost sight of the gospel. We've lost sight of our unity. We've lost sight of the point of the body. It's like a disease. It's like amputations. And not only does it deprive that sort of mentality, the body, of an important function, but the whole of the body has to carry that as well. So we need, brothers and sisters, our diversity, don't we? All of our body parts. We need all hands on deck. Jesus knew that, because he made us into this body in the first place. And now You know, this COVID thing's made it a bit harder, of course. But we've got two of these blooming services to do. And we're joyful about it because we all want to give ourselves to the work of this body working well and growing strong. We've got two gatherings. We need all sorts of works of service just for this thing to happen. We're going to need more because we want to grow, don't we? We want to see many people saved, don't we? That means more people, more gatherings. That's what we're up for if we're on board with Jesus. And here are some opportunities that we have at the moment. With double the rosters, there's heaps of opportunities. We need to grow our music capacity. We need people to run creche. We need more people for congregational prayer. Dave's even got training set straight up for that. If you're interested, you can do it. We need more mature Christians to get involved with our young people. We need cadet and gems and morph and children's church and kids biz leaders. We have opportunities to be involved in our evangelism programs, to even join a team that is thinking about how we do evangelism and how we can make that sing better. And there's many other possibilities too. There's plenty to do. We often mention the 80-20 rule. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I don't think that was actually exactly right, really, before COVID for us, that we're much better balanced than that. I do think that over the COVID period, it's been nearer 10 and 90% though, just by necessity and the nature of what we've had to be able to do. But if God puts the teaching, this teaching of Ephesians 4, into our hearts today, what are we looking for? Now, I've got to be careful here. We don't want 100% of the people doing 0% of the work, do we? What do we want? What's in view here? Isn't it 100% of the people covering 100% of the work? And there's a word for that. It's called maturity in Ephesians 4. And that's our third point, the shape of our maturity. Verses 13 to 16. Until we all reach, verse 13, unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, we'll no longer be infants. Verse 15, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. As you look, you see both unity and diversity appear in these verses, not just as essential conditions for attaining maturity, but they are two actual marks of maturity. Until we all reach unity in the faith, that is our knowledge of the gospel of Christ and our trust in him. Verse 16, as each part does its work, diversity in service. On the back of that unity in the gospel, that leads to maturity. The maturing body is really doing two things. Firstly, it's growing strong, verse 14 and 15. These verses focus in again on the individual members of the body, making it clear that immaturity, the mention of infants here in verse 14, is essentially by its nature weak and gullible. And look, weird teachings and dodgy ideas abound today, don't they? Along with many deceitful people. So we don't want to stay there. But right here is where the well-trained, strong body endures and continues, even under duress. This is what it trained for. Its maturity equates to its strength. It doesn't buckle. Under pressure, we speak the truth in love, verse 15. And we can do that because even though we're so diverse, we're united in the gospel, knowing and believing those ones that we already looked at in verse 4 to 6, living by them, even willing to die for them. But if there's an outward strength that the body exhibits, the second mark of maturity is really the secret behind it. The body's growing strong because it's working well. Verse 16, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Just look at that verse. That's what I pray for this church. It's what I pray that we can grow into. It's what I want you to pray for as well. You see, the shape of maturity is a body working like this. Every supporting ligament, the whole body growing, building itself up in love as each part is doing its work. It's easy to see what not working well looks like in this metaphor, isn't it? Real easy. The head directs the hand to pick something up, right? But the elbow won't budge. Okay, so what am I going to do now? Well, I'm suddenly in an unnatural position and I've picked something up and now my back's gone. And the body's all out of kilter. It doesn't do what it wants to do well. Further issues come. The body's less able to meet the demands of its environment. The body's weakened. And in its weakened state, further damage can happen. Maybe causing damage disproportionate to the first problem. Christ is the head. We are the body. And working well requires that that body is aligned with that head. Anything else is dysfunctional, which is why verse 16 is aspirational for us, isn't it? It's why it's our prayer, I hope. These days, I think we're familiar with those super slow motion cameras on TV that run at thousands of frames per second. They give you this sort of silky smooth visual feast in slow motion of a great athlete performing their world renowned skill. I particularly love those tennis ones of Roger Federer and his beautiful backhand in tennis. And you see that whole body, his focus, you see the preparation, you see the sinews of the leg, and the focus in the eyes and the vein in the neck and the smoothness of everything working well to execute this dynamite weapon that he has on the tennis court. Now, I imagine my own body trying to hit a backhand wouldn't be quite as mesmerizing. You know, the chops are over here and the thing's over here and racket's over here and the eyes are over here. What about for us as a church? What about our church, this body? Would it be the visual feast of verse 16? Would it be our big idea that the body is made up of many parts, all of which have functions that make the body work well and grow stronger? Or let me just restate that. The church is made up of many people, all of whom have functions that make the body work well and grow stronger. See, as we look at our body in the mirror of God's word, what shape are we in, brothers and sisters? As we look at the shape of our unity, the shape of our diversity, and the shape of our maturity. And don't forget, we've got to be working out on this. If we're not going to work out to get in shape, the spiritual version of the reversibility of training will kick in. It'll kick in anyway, even if we are working out, which is an encouragement to keep going, because that's what maturity looks like. We're Jesus' body. The Spirit is in us. And so let me finish with verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 4. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. You've reminded us through your word that this thing we are expressing here is a body, many parts, united in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that we have. We are your people. We, Lord Jesus, are your body. Lord, show us our response, please. Lay it on our hearts. May we understand better about the unity and the diversity, and most especially the maturity. And will you bring that into our midst by the power of your Holy Spirit? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.